PFT Media.
You are now listening to Cinema Crespediso.
This is the Chris Crespo Radio Show. Everybody likes him. Listen to his shit.
You little fucker.
Is the big fella not coming with us?
No, he's minding a car.
What do you think we are? Teas?
I know nothing like that, Mr. Neil. He just likes looking after cars.
Get dags. Do you like dags?
Dags.
What?
Yeah, dags.
Dags? Do you like dags?
Oh, dogs. Sure. I like dags. I like caravans more.
You're very welcome.
Welcome to Cinema Crespediso.
All right, this is a for real take two of Cinema Crespediso. We lost 13 minutes of, to be honest, not good show. And it was all my fault. So we are going to redo this. The gods of podcasting intervened and said, nope, this is trash. Shut down the program. Auto delete. Redo it. And I said, yes, podcasting
Chris,
gods,
Chris,
as
there,
you will.
There are no podcasting gods. It's just pure chaos around here. The computer fucked up and we have to retry.
Pure
dun, 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 dun.
Chaos. So I have one of those. Your current threat level is fuchsia. Disregard your so-called theories. With me is Schuster Cogburn.
Fuck your theories, Chris.
What'd you say?
I said fuck your theories.
How dare you?
I dare.
Your evilness coming out in such a... Oh, wait, you're disregarding my theories? Mm. Oh, so you're just following the threat update? Mm. Okay, never mind. With us. It's his first time on the show. His partner was on. He likes to go by Ken, but we all know his name is Kiki for some reason.
Partner, they're married? I didn't know that.
They are podcasting partners.
We're Ebony and Ivory.
Yes, and in our case, it's more of
Fat
a...
Fat guy, skinny guy.
Fat guy, skinny guy. It's
the perfect 10.
Laurel and Hardy. Uh-huh. Abigastello. Juicer and Chris. Mm-hmm. Chris and Drew.
Yep. That's how it works.
Here we go, ladies and gentlemen. The... Drewster to his Crespo. It is Coco.
What up, what up, what up?
What's up, Matt? How you doing?
Thanks for having me on, guys.
Good to see you from the 1K away show. 1K away from a trip, a third K, which was some sort of KKK joke.
Yeah, kind of.
It's funny because Ken's black, so you gotta know.
That's why we were able to kind of thread that line, yes.
Yeah. It's different if it's three white dudes.
But ooh.
Like, oh, we're almost like the KKK.
Well, see, I kind of got the double goodness with Ken because he's half black and half Japanese. So, like,
which is awesome.
I'm covering, like, two totally different...
Yeah, he's Blasian.
That's great. Yeah, that's a great mix of man, I wish I was Blasian. I'd be the Blasian.
He's black and
I'd be a black and ease professional wrestler all about marijuana called the Blasian. Mm-hmm. And I'd travel the world doing La Planchas over the top rope onto like psychosis and mm-hmm. stuff like that. Like, yeah. I'm like, take that. Taking chair shots to the back.
Yep.
Yeah. Getting brain damage over the years, committing suicide at the age of 55.
You have a giant pot leaf tattoo.
At least you got
a
blade out
somewhere.
Planned out.
Yeah, it's all planned out. I know, yeah. Giant pot leaf tattooed on me. Yeah. My eventual suicide. If some luck, there might be some lucky lady out there who might get in on a murder suicide.
Yeah, I was about to say who might get murdered by you before you kill yourself. And hell, if you pop up a little couple Crespos, you can kill them too.
True, that's what true love's all about.
Ooh.
That's what true love's all about.
Killing children,
taking your loved ones with you because you don't want to be alone in the afterlife.
Not in Colorado.
Yeah, in Colorado. Yeah, you know. Oh yeah, no, he didn't kill himself. That loser.
Yeah.
He tried to be like on TV. Oh, someone killed my family. You fucking asshole. Yeah. You're a douchebag.
Might as well just off yourself at the end.
Exactly.
Anyway.
That's the whole point of it. Uh-huh. You dummy. You don't get to live. You don't get to kill them and then live, idiot.
Got to do it like the guy in Jacksonville.
Like the guy in Jacksonville. Exactly. Which one was the guy? The guy in Jacksonville.
Yeah,
the
Madden tournament.
Yeah. And then Florida AG is like, we got to do something about these video games. They're making kids so violent.
It's football!
They're playing football.
They were playing Madden. Yeah, we got to do something about the video games. Not the guns, not the laws.
Nope.
The video games.
Yes.
So there you go. That's your current news update on Cinema Crespediso. I hope this helps you wherever and whenever you are. We're hanging out in the studio, and we're gonna redo. You know what? I was thinking, should we redo it? Should we just use? I want to talk about the same movie that we did. We recorded 10 minutes, and then just like Drew said, audio shitstorm. unprofessionalism.
Chaos.
This is what happens when you use old equipment, you know, to provide your free
and
entertainment
software.
And your free content for everyone. You are welcome. It's all free.
Feel free to donate any new equipment to Cinema Crespedito.
Feel free to enjoy the freeness until it's not free anymore. Heads up. Pay attention, people. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, or just give us shit. Just give us free stuff. Since all that shit shut down, we did a streaming pick of the week. We talked about it. I want to talk about that movie again. So here's the theme. All right, it's over. Matt, you used it, and you told everyone. Do you remember? Do you remember what it was?
It was The Land.
Yes, The Land.
On Netflix.
On Netflix, Stephen Cable Jr. It's notable because Stephen Cable Jr. is directing Creed 2. And we're all excited about Creed 2. Man, there's such a good movie. You know what I like about the marketing? The first Creed trailer used, what was it, Drew? The music that they used in the Creed trailer.
I don't remember.
It was very...
So long ago, Chris.
It was
all those brain cells popped.
We stole their logo. You stole their logo.
Oh, Run the Jewels.
It was Run the Jewels. And then this one uses Kendrick Lamar.
Yeah.
And it's like a very evocative trailer. It lets you know exactly what you're getting into. It's like he's still dealing with legacy, trying to his father's
cement
footsteps. Yes, exactly. Yeah. Am I my father's son? But then his mom is all like,
well, "Don't pretend this is about your father."
It's not his mom.
Yeah, it's about you. You know what? It's funny. It's not his mom. It's his stepmom. It's his adopted mom at this point because she took him in when he was a kid. So adopted mom, not his real mom. You're right. But it's funny that.
But it's Ms. Cosby.
She's the third, I think, the second or third. Apollo Creed's wife.
Yes.
What's her name? Mrs. Creed.
Yeah.
But I think this is the first time that they like repeated actresses.
It's kind of like
Ms. Cosby.
Kind of like a new season of Fresh Prince where they just changed the mom.
Yes, exactly. They kept changing moms. And finally, they're like, no, we got a mom that sticks. This one's really good. We like this mom. And she was awesome in Creed. And like just the three scenes that she's in.
Yeah.
It's like,
she killed it.
Like, you want, I got to wipe your ass when you can't use your hands just like your daddy. And then he's looking at him like, oh, I'm sorry. Mm. I'm sorry, mom. I just went to Mexico to fight. Man, a good movie. Ryan Coogler is the truth. I hope Stephen Cable Jr. is just as good. The Land is a good movie. It takes place in Cleveland. Bunch of degenerate kids going around trying to knock off people, rob them and shit. And
so your typical Cleveland day.
Typical Cleveland on skateboards and whatever. And then they come across like a stash of drugs. They take it. They try to sell it. Make some money.
They must not have been accepting LeBron James' new school.
They were not in that school. Well, it was before school was built. That's why they didn't have a chance. That's why the school is built, to give the kids a chance. LeBron saw this movie. He was like, I got to build a school. I got to do it.
Bullshit. I guarantee you LeBron James never saw this movie.
You don't think so?
Nope.
I wonder. He's in L.A. for a reason.
Nope.
There's a reason why he went to the Lakers. And it wasn't to play for the Lakers. You know what I'm saying?
No, it's straight money.
Nope.
Straight marketing.
It's because he's in Los Angeles.
And because he's at the end of his career.
And he is going to build that dynasty. He sees what Michael Jackson said. He sees what Michael Jordan is doing. That billion-dollar empire that Jordan has built.
Jumpman 23, bro.
Post-basketball, right? Obviously built in that career, but since then he's gone through the roof.
LeBron...
Obviously not,
but they'll continue on with the new kind of its own brand like Jordan's did.
Yeah, and it would be cool... Oh, stupid Apple software update. No. It would be cool if... do you remember Starburys?
Yes.
Yeah. How much did those cost?
Like 15, 20 bucks.
I was about to say, yep.
I had the Elijah ones growing up. Those were about the same thing.
Akeem
Olajuwon?
Oh, Akeem Olajuwon. How much were those?
Those were about the same. Those you go to like Payless Shoes and that's where they sold them.
It's all right. You know, Stephon Marbury's still playing basketball.
In China.
I thought he retired after this year.
This year in China,
I think
maybe.
He retired,
all I know is that he took whatever team he was on to multiple championships.
Yep. Yeah, yeah.
He's got a hot wife and millions of Chinese dollars.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Good for him. Yeah. Good for him. I've always liked him for several reasons. None of them have to do with his basketball playing abilities. First off, I like that he shaved the star into the side of his head, or is that a tattoo?
Tattoo, I think.
Tattoo.
He tattooed that star for Starberry. Good for him. That's really buying into his own shit.
Yep.
Number two. I love the cheap sneakers.
Mm-hmm.
I love that he did that for kids. A lot of other
people. And the fact that he trashed like Jordan and everybody else too.
In the process. Like, why are you guys making shoes that are so expensive they're causing riots in malls? You should make these things affordable and you know, we're trying to build up our communities, not make money off them. Like, man, of all the people doing
I know,
this,
right?
This like trashy
Stephon
dude.
Marbury.
Yeah,
yeah.
He's crazy. He's got a star tattoo on the side of his head. But he's like, we got to build up the kids. You're like, damn, Steph. And then I like that he played for the Knicks for a minute. So I'm a Knicks fan.
Knicks fan.
Yeah, yeah. It's been a hard life. I mean, they won the championship. The last time they won a championship was pre-Crespo. So
yeah, I was about
it was the 70s.
Yeah, I mean,
was the only one they ever won.
The last time the Knicks had a run was when...
90s.
Yeah, Ewing and John Starks.
Anthony Mason, John Starks.
Man,
Charles Oakley.
Who was it that John Starks dunked on out of nowhere?
He dunked on...
Rick Smits?
Because he was the shooter of all... He was always the shooter.
And not Rick Smits. No,
I remember one game, he dunked on somebody, and everyone was like, what the fuck?
He posterized Jordan.
Oh, you're right.
In the playoff game.
You're right, yeah.
And I think maybe Scottie Pippen was even in the bottom going like,
he was. You're right. John Starks.
That was always such a great matchup, though, in the playoffs.
Great. It was a fantastic matchup if you didn't care about the Knicks winning.
Correct.
Because they got beat every time.
Yes.
And then the 2 years when Jordan was trying to play baseball in Sarasota and Drew was like catching all his foul balls.
No, I wasn't catching foul balls. I was watching him strike out repeatedly.
There we go.
And it was so much fun.
Batting like 212.
Yeah, not even a baseball fan. Yeah. Just watching Jordan play baseball.
I was behind home plate, literally. I watched Michael Jordan strike out 3 times in one day, literally 10 feet in front of me.
They call that the golden sombrero.
I was just catching a baseball game the other day. I don't even remember who was playing, but like the manager who managed Jordan in the minor leagues is now like a major league manager for one of the teams is doing like really well right now. I was like, really? Oh, okay.
It's a small world. That's how it happens. Man, we were talking about Jordan and baseball and LeBron
Starberry.
And Starberry. He played for the Knicks. It's hard being a Knicks fan. The 70s.
Ready
last
for
time
that
one.
Remake of Space Jam with LeBron?
LeBron, you know what? Space Jam is not a very good movie. It's going to be fine. Go ahead and make as many Space Jam sequels as you want. It's going to be great. I wonder what contemporary stars. Kyrie Irving, for sure, because he was just in that other, the Uncle Drew movie.
Uncle Drew, I want to see that.
That John Starks dunk, Drew, left-handed. Yeah. It was left-handed, and it was like, joosh. Man, they still lost, though. It was terrible. And then while Jordan was playing baseball, the Knicks couldn't beat the Rockets 2 years in a row. No, then the Rockets in the finals. Before that, I think the Pacers beat them. Reggie Miller, if they had the pleasure of being beaten by the Bulls only if they could get through the Pacers, Reggie Miller's Pacers.
Because that was one of those years the Magic made it to the finals.
Yes. Yep. That was Jordan's return year when he came back halfway through the year.
Yep.
And so he wasn't like fully back into it. And then, with Penny, and then that's when Nick Anderson stole the ball to steal around the world.
I was at that game.
You were at that game? Oh, that's awesome, man. Great. I haven't been to an Amway Center event or watched any Magic games since Betsy DeVos has been made Secretary of Education, and until the DeVos family divest themselves of the Magic entirely, I cannot support the franchise of anymore. So there you go. Just want to let people
getting a little political.
I've been still sticking. Oh yeah, this is Cinema Crest, but you still told me to. And just letting people know that I haven't stopped that. I said that I was going to do that. I haven't stopped it, and it's been a bummer. Even though you know what, the Magic have been sucking for the last couple of years, I still pay attention via media.
Tickets are so cheap,
and tickets are so cheap, so I could go to games. It's easier to boycott a team when they're garbage.
Just take a trip down to like Miami to go watch them play.
Yeah, it's another thing too. I won't go to Amway Center events. I won't pay for them. Because it's DeVos. DeVos family is very evil. But that's a whole other issue. I'm gonna save that for my other podcast. The DeVos family is evil, which is very
talking politics with Paul and politics.
Yeah. Well, are you gonna take on the DeVos family? You're Paul. I'm politics. Talking politics with Paul talking politics.
Man,
it's a mouth twister and a half. The Land, streaming pick of the week on Netflix. That was our pick. It's a good pick. Thank you very much. People watch that shit. And then get ready for Creed 2. Here we go. Box office recap. Talk about that money. Drewster Cogburn, where is... We start in the top five.
Number 23.
Number 23.
The Little Stranger made $417,000, Chris.
On how many screens?
474.
Ooh. What's a screen average?
$880.
Does that even fill a theater?
That is bad. That is a half full theater right there of $800. And you know what? When I saw this movie, it was like a pretty empty theater. I went and saw it Friday, 7:10, I think it was. So not very many people in there in this theater. It's based on a book, a gothic horror book, novel. The Little Stranger, about a 1940s doctor who, it's in England, and like mid-40s, so it's just after World War II.
Okay.
And there's this big old house, a big hall, hundreds hall, where a family has owned it for generations. It's kind of a class thing, because in England, everything over there is about class.
And before, like around World War One, you know, before that, they had a lot of money. They had huge parties. They were a well-known family. By the 1940s, all that wealth is gone. The house is in disrepair, and the people that are left running it, like the three, like the most, the three kids essentially that are in their 20s or whatever, or the two kids, excuse me, they in their 30s, they can't. Like, the whole thing's falling apart. And then, on top of all that, the house is haunted, maybe? So, cool. It's like a horror film, but not. It's sort of a thriller, but it's also kind of a romantic film. But here's the thing. So, it's Domhnall Gleeson playing the doctor, the young doctor.
Okay.
He takes a house call, comes over, meets the family. He has his own personal history with the house, because he lives in this town his whole life. He meets the woman who's helping run the house, the young heirs lady.
Boner.
And he gets sort of a boner for her, but then it's like a will she, won't they kind of thing. He's like, well, let me try to help you hook up with someone else, but then it's like he gets jealous. It's actually kind of annoying, and it's like, dude, what are you trying to do? He's kind of a wishy-washy guy, so mm-hmm. he's not a very fun protagonist to follow.
Okay.
Like, he won't just make the commitment. And then when he does finally make the leap, like, I want you to be my wife, he's like so overboard about it. Like, dude, you didn't think
almost like stalker rapish type.
Yeah, you're mm-hmm. like you're being a weirdo about this stuff. I don't think I like this character. And then the movie itself is kind of wishy-washy in terms of, like, is it a haunted house movie type of thing? Are there ghosts or, like, what are the answers? There are no answers. And while that may be more satisfying in novel form, in movie form, it's like...
Just made it look like a weird, creepy guy trying to hook up with a chick.
Yeah, so then by the end, they do try to give you some sort of supernatural answers, but they don't make sense. I'm trying to be not spoilery about this, but things happen, and then they give you, like, oh, this is what it was, and then you're like, but that doesn't... But then you're like, that doesn't... makes sense, though, when you think about it. Like, I have to get into real spoilers, but you'd be like, what? That's fucking dumb. And then it was, okay, it's a type of movie where when it was over, I went home and then I Wikipedia'd the movie, the book, to read the plot of the book to be like, okay, what did I miss?
Yeah.
And then apparently I didn't miss anything. It just wasn't that great of an adaptation.
It just didn't translate.
It just wasn't very good, which is a bummer because it's from the director of Frank, the Michael Fassbender movie.
Which is weird.
And the Room, the Brie Larson movie. Yeah. That got a whole bunch of awards and whatnot and launched the career of young Jacob Tremblay. So bummed. I'm a little bummed, but then I understand why then it got put out on Labor Day weekend.
Mm-hmm. You understand why it's $400,000.
Why it made less than $500,000.
Well, and it's only 61% on the Rotten Tomatoes.
61%? What's the average rating?
6.2.
Because you know why? I'm going to say that's kind of high. I'd put it like a straight up 4.5, 5 out of 10. Because it's not satisfying. But watching it, though, let me just say real quick. Watching it, you can tell it's well made in terms of the way it's shot, the design, the acting is fine. You know, it's like, you know, the people making this movie know how to make movies.
Actors did okay.
All the acting, what they're asked to do, they're doing. It's just that I feel like on a fundamental story level, it's unsatisfying.
Yeah.
And then that's a big flaw. So, Drew, go ahead. What does it say on Rotten Tomatoes?
The Little Stranger's reliance on atmosphere may satisfy audiences in the mood for sophisticated horror fare. Mm-hmm. While frustrating those seeking more visceral thrills.
Yeah, I don't even think visceral thrills. Yeah, there is a lack of visceral thrills, good atmosphere building, a lack of... I'm halfway through watching the movie, I'm thinking to myself, literally, I'm like, why...
Am I here?
Yes. Yes. Why are we here? Why are we following this relationship? Why should we care about any of this? I'm not feeling the connection between the characters.
They didn't build the characters up enough.
They did not build it up enough and properly. And
I hate that when they just kind of... Unless it's an action movie where I don't care really about their background.
What are you there for the action?
Yeah.
And maybe they're thinking, like Drew said in that how you read that thing, maybe that people are there for the atmosphere, then they'll get that much out of it. But there are other things that are missing for sure. So what was that number? Number 23. Well, what's the next in the top five?
Number 12.
All right, that makes sense.
Made $3.02 million.
Significantly more money.
Kin.
Interesting little sci-fi film, Kin.
Saw the trailers.
Yes.
It looks interesting.
I didn't see the trailers. Drew saw the trailers.
I saw the trailers a bunch.
So we went and saw it. I went into it pretty cold, only seeing the poster.
Okay.
And, okay. Drew, spoiler free.
Well, It's a weird mix of family drama with heavy sci-fi, I guess.
Pretty heavy sci-fi slant to it.
But the sci-fi slant really doesn't come into play. I mean, it's
like how Terminator is sci-fi.
Yeah.
This movie made me think of Terminator a couple times.
There's like sci-fi elements. Yep. The whole overriding idea of the movie is very sci-fi heavy. Yes. But when you're watching the movie itself, it still takes place in a world that's very recognizable. It's not like flying cars.
No. It's still 2018 America.
Right. But then like two crazy biker people show up with wild outfits.
And they're bulletproof and they can like do weird stuff and have crazy guns.
Yeah. Yeah, but then they find a couple of bikes and they look at each other and then they, and then soundtrack's like bow. It's a big white shot
and neon. And then back to the family drama.
So there's like with Dennis Quaid as as an adoptive father, real father and adoptive father. Can you look up the guy? Was the guy who plays the son who comes home from prison? Is he the dude from Transformers: The Last Knight?
Yes,
he is.
Jimmy Selinsky.
So he's is he an Irish fella for real?
I think so.
Did you see? Are you up on the Transformers?
Oh yes. No, born in Colorado.
He's from Colorado, just doing a bad Irish accent.
Yep.
The guy who's in the last Transformers movie, the one who played the boyfriend.
The one who drives the fast car.
Yes.
Yeah.
Moved to Ireland when he was 2.
There we go. Like how Mel Gibson moved to Australia when he was 3. He's the, so the movie starts with a young black kid. He's a scrapper. Is it in Detroit? It's Detroit, right? He's a scrapper looking for copper. His dad is Dennis Quaid, single dad trying to raise him, his adopted dad. And then their real son is just coming home from prison for stealing for 6-year stint. And, he owes money to a gang for protection inside prison, just like in Drive.
Who the lead is played by fucking James Franco. James Franco. Who? Killed it as the bad guy.
He's
in
pretty
this,
great.
Dude.
He's like really. He's very menacing.
Seriously, James Franco was really probably good. The craziest and best part of the movie besides the sci-fi stuff.
Yeah. He, as an actor, he's a very. The way his character and the way he plays the character is portrayed.
I like Creepy Franco.
Franco's good.
I think for the first time, I was actually like afraid of James Franco.
Yeah, like if this if this Franco showed up, but like just look on his face, like oh
fuck
man,
no,
like,
dude, no, I'm done. I'm not playing this game.
This guy's gonna shoot me in the head right here. Like this guy doesn't give a fuck.
No,
he's good.
He had that mullet.
I was looking at that mullet.
The mullet, the mustache.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's like
that was totally his choice. Yeah,
he showed up on set.
So he went like '80s Detroit with his hairdo and mustache.
Oh, dude, he went '80s Detroit with his entire character.
Yeah, he is Detroit 1984. He's white boy Rick Matthew McConaughey, but in this movie,
and a little bit more tattoos.
Yeah,
neck tattoos. So he's great in it. The guy who plays the older brother is fine enough, but his character's a dickhead. Which by the end of the movie, they're acknowledging it. This character sucks. Yeah. And makes all the wrong decisions.
Correct.
So you have to be prepared to watch a movie in which one of the main characters is just like the worst.
Well, and even the kid himself makes some fairly poor decisions as a character as well.
Absolutely. Sure,
and
sure.
Some really frustrating decisions too.
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
But towards the end though, I think more and more when it comes to using the sci-fi gun that he finds that's in the trailer and everything, I like that the kid was like very proactive. Like, I'm using this thing.
Yeah.
And I'm showing people how it works.
No.
So I like the sci-fi.
So there was no like parent that was like, let me use that gun, and the kid's like, okay.
No.
He hides it, and then when he breaks out, it's like only I'm using this thing. And you know, I thought overall the movie worked. It's interesting that it's like a family movie, but it is like a PG-13 harder version of a family movie. I saw it as instead of a family version of a sci-fi movie, it's like a sci-fi hard sci-fi version of a family film.
You know, because
it's geared towards
it is
teens and tweens. But it's like we still have characters that are like drinking. They go to a go-go bar, which is, you know, like
a strip joint,
a fake strip joint where no one gets naked. And but there's also like all the dancers have to have a B cup or less. Like we're gonna make sure this is as unsexy as possible. but then that's where Zoe Kravitz shows up, and she's pretty great in the movie. It just feels very much like a movie for kids. But then they're like, we're going to make it a little harder.
So for me, I always judge a movie. Is it something you would see in a theater, something you would rent when it comes out, or something you wait for it to come on TV?
I would wait to, seriously, in all reality, I would wait till this came out on TV.
Yeah.
I mean, it's worth seeing and it's fun. But I think, after this, I really, I want to follow those biker dudes.
Where they go?
Oh,
and their story?
I want to follow them, Chris.
A rare instance of when a movie ends, it hints at like a possible world, a possible sequel, and I'll be like, "Ooh, I could follow that. I could see what's going on in this sequel."
If it went that direction.
Yeah.
If it went the other way, I don't really care, but if it...
So this movie makes some stylistic choices Like we mentioned, the biker people and like the music and some shots. It makes some stylistic choices when I'm watching it that I'm like, I would have made the same choice.
Yeah.
In terms of presentation, aesthetics. So because of that, I can get behind the movie. I wonder how old these brothers are that made it, or if they're brothers. They could be cousins.
Yeah, who knows?
Jonathan and something Baker, no. Booker, brother.
Mm.
Oh, that's good stuff. So
this one's only 34% on the tomato meter, Chris.
I think that's low. I thought the movie is overall more satisfying than The Little Stranger.
5 out of 10.
5 out of 10. So right down the middle.
Yeah. Part family drama, part sci-fi adventure. Kin struggles to balance its narrative until a late twist that suggests it all might have worked better as the first episode of a TV series.
Oh, ooh. Sure. Yeah. I can see that because we know what they're talking about.
Yeah. Yep.
A very late twist.
And we could, and like
that's,
I said,
yeah, that's the end of the movie. That's a climax.
Let's follow that.
Yeah.
That's what I want to follow.
Sure. Okay, well, there you go. I guess that sounds like we liked it a little more than the generalized.
I mean, I liked it more stylistically.
Yeah.
I mean, think more than anything.
I'd put that at a 6 out of 10 as opposed to a 5 out of 10. You know.
All right, number 5 this week.
Number 5.
Searching. Made $5.7 million. Total of 6.2.
Oh, for a second, I thought you meant like buffering.
Nope.
Searching.
Nope.
Searching. Searching.
That's the name of the movie.
That's that John Chu movie.
Yeah.
Is what's going on there. What's the Rotten Tomato? I mean, we didn't see
this. Yeah, Rotten Tomato. Searching.
Is this one of these ones where it's like, it's all through the computer screen,
yes.
Right? And it's like, look for my whatever. What does it say? What's it?
It's 91%, Chris. Certified fresh.
What does it say?
7.4 out of 10.
What does it say?
Searching's timely premise and original execution are further bolstered by well-rounded characters brought to life by a talented cast. I guess it's just a good movie.
I still gotta go back and see that Alpha movie.
I don't think I'm ever going to watch that.
That one's at 90%.
Chris, I don't care that much about dogs.
Yeah, but I care that much about movies that get
the robot good rating. Dog. The robot dog, right?
No, that's Axel.
That's Axel.
And that's like 12%.
Yeah, that's the bad one, apparently.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I would have shit the bed if that one had good reviews, too. No, Alpha's the one where it's like proto pet.
Okay.
He's like the first...
Cave boy and wolf dog.
Yeah, the first domesticated dog. Yeah, cave boy and wolf dog.
Oh, yeah. Okay, gotcha.
A cave boy and his wolf dog.
Mm-hmm. He gets lost, finds the dog, nurses him back to health. Yeah, I saw the trailer.
And apparently, great reviews. It's one of the Hughes brothers.
Movies that have less talking in them, kind of like Quiet Place. I mean,
movies should have less talking, actually. That's 2001 A Space Odyssey proves that.
Number 4 this week.
Number 4.
Operation Finale.
Operation Finale.
$6 million, total of 7.7.
This is that Oscar Isaac fights the Nazis movie.
On a budget of 24. Oscar Isaac searches for Ben Kingsley as Nazi.
What's the thing on this one?
62%.
Okay. Yeah, sounds like another rented way for it to be on DVD.
It looks really interesting, though. Like, I like the storyline premise because it's hard. Like, I like the war movies, the World War II and things like that.
Yep.
And they've all been done, but they've all generally been focused on the actual fighting and the invasions.
As opposed to your Valkyrie-style movies that are like about certain specific little missions and things. Yeah, sure.
Kind of the behind-the-scenes stuff. But I like it how it's not just about... It's not about America, you know? So it's like, what are some of these other countries? What have they done?
It's like The Darkest Hour. We just had that one where it's all about, well, while the war was going on, what was Winston Churchill saying?
Yep.
You know, that's pretty much that entire movie. Dunkirk is like, just this one evacuation. How do they do this one evacuation? It's not even a battle. It's just, how do we get these people off this beach? That's all that movie was about. Yeah, it is interesting how now World War II movies, they've been making them for so long, now they're getting niche. Now we're getting niche World War II films.
Nick Kroll's in this movie,
so that means...
The fuck?
He's probably in it playing Bobby Bottle Service, helping out all... Hey! There's also that Overlord movie coming out that's World War II, but it's Bad Robot style sci-fi horror. That's probably going to be garbage.
Yep.
What else we have?
Number three. Mission:Impossible-Fallout.
Yes.
$7 million, total of 204.
204, there we go. Broke 200. You see this one yet?
I have not seen it yet, but I love the stat line behind the Tom Cruise movies where when he runs like X amount, like the movies are always like rated over 75%, like Rotten Tomatoes.
They
gross over 500. Yeah.
Really?
Based on the amount of running. And I think it's something that Rotten Tomatoes actually did. So if you pull it up, if he runs X amount during a movie, it rates over 70 or 75% in Rotten Tomatoes and it grosses over 500 million.
Interesting. See, that's very interesting because I thought he did a lot of running in Jack Reacher, Never Go Back. But maybe he didn't. Maybe I was tricked into thinking he did, because that movie's not very good.
Yeah.
I don't think people wasn't as well liked as many of his other movies. And he did. There's a great, fantastic Tom Cruise running sequence in Fallout, where it's like it gets you get it all. You get Tom Cruise running. You get him doing stunts. You get
flying
jumps.
Helicopters.
You get a great running gag from Simon Pegg as he's using the GPS.
I love Simon Pegg.
And the way they use him in this is fantastic. And man, some fantastic Cruise running.
I was really impressed about the whole helicopter scene because I saw the behind the scenes thing on that where he was a trained helicopter pilot. He did a lot of the stunts on his own.
It's incredible. It took him a year to learn to get to that point. I watched there's like a 25, 30 minute assemblage of B-roll of him, just how they did all the action stuff, and there's like a great sequence where in order to get into the helicopter, he has to climb a rope, and the rope has a payload, and like he falls at one point and he catches himself on the payload, and they show him doing that a couple of times. Then they're on the ground, and he's talking to the director. He's like, "We're gonna do this. We're gonna do that. I know the camera's here, so I'm gonna move my arm this way." And it's like, man, this guy is a baller. He's so cool.
Oh well, he brings in his own like stunt training team to train the actors on these to be able to do their own stunts. Yep. He did the guy who plays Superman,
Henry Cavill. Yep.
So because he's in the movie, and he actually talked about how Tom Cruise brought in like this team of stunt trainers to help teach these guys to be able to do their own stunts.
Yeah, because then like Cavill, he sees Cruise in it. Like, I want to do these stunts too. And
Cruise, I want to fly a helicopter.
It's like, you can do some of these stunts. I have people here to train you. Yeah, it's really cool how Cruise does that because he wants to elevate everyone's game, man. Because he's
all that Scientology money.
For him, Scientology works.
Yeah.
You know, and then you got your Travoltas where it's like, ooh. Mm. Him acting is this movie, I'm bald and have a gold teeth.
Number two. The Meg. $10.5 million, total $120.
Man.
I want to see this movie.
I can't believe it's making so much money for a movie. It's like, it's not that well reviewed, you know.
I still want to see it. I've had a few friends that have seen it, and they're like...
Do they like it?
Yeah, they like it for what it is, you know? I mean,
that's the thing, though. If you're saying... You got to throw caveats in there for what it is, this and that, or whatever. Well,
it's a Megalodon. It's a big shark movie, you know? So it's not much more in it, but like they're like... Jason Statham movie.
I mean, most shark movies are terrible.
Yeah.
You have Jaws, and you have The Shallows, and then you have everything else.
Yeah.
Right? Deep Blue Sea.
Deep Blue Sea.
Mm-hmm. And then you have everything else. And even then, you have a very three distinct shark movies.
Deep Blue Sea really hovers that line.
That is that line. It's because they make some bold choices that then pushes them to the level of great.
But you know what you're doing when you get into a shark movie. What was it? 28 meters down or 60 meters down?
Whatever that one was. Yeah, yeah.
I watched that and I knew what it was going in and I enjoyed it.
And they can be enjoyable on their own level for sure. But I mean, like... Come on, we got Jaws. I mean, everyone sees Jaws like, I want to make my shark movie. It's like it's the same way I think of it this way, where whenever someone makes a movie that's centered on a heist or a bank robbery or something, I'm like, did you guys see Heat? Heat exists.
It's already been done.
It's been done. Are you saying now you're making a movie that's as good as Heat?
Because or better? You're not.
Because if you're not, then why are you trying? You should be making something else.
Yeah, but unless you're doing a movie that has like a realistic background to it or something that happened in the past, like all movies have already been done.
But I'm saying not just that it's been done, but do it as good as that. Like, to this day, I wouldn't bother making a heist movie unless I know I can make... This is going to challenge Heat on level of greatness. Like, I'm going to try something else. If there's, like, certain movies that are pantheons of greatness, like, to this day, I don't understand why anyone would try to make either a mob movie or a mob TV show. Because you already have Goodfellas and The Godfathers.
Oh, my God, Goodfellas.
Goodfellas and The Godfathers covers both sides. It covers the fake, bougie side of the mob and then the down and dirty side of the mob. Yep. And then you got Sopranos that does both together great and, like, but undercuts everything with the therapy and, like, how are you going to make anything mob-related better than
Last
Sopranos?
Heist movie I saw I actually enjoyed. It was it had Gerard Butler in
The
it.
Den of Thieves?
Yes.
I heard people like it, that it's fine, it's entertaining. It ain't no Heat, man.
No. It's not Heat, but I'm saying, like, I enjoy... Because I didn't hear anything about the movie, and I was like, Gerard Butler, guns, action,
sure,
cool,
yeah,
I'll
yeah.
check it out. And I really enjoyed the movie, and I was like, wow, I'm surprised it didn't get any publicity.
You see, I have the exact opposite reaction. When I see Gerard Butler on a tagline for a movie, I'm like, ooh, maybe I shouldn't be watching this movie.
As long as he's not, like, trying to make out with a woman in the movie, like, he was a dirty cop.
Very,
like,
very
I mean,
awkward whenever he's trying to make out with someone. He looks weird.
He was good in one movie. 300.
No,
that's it.
He's
you're wrong.
You're wrong. One. You know what? I haven't seen Geostorm.
You're wrong.
Geostorm was I mean,
I want to see Geostorm. I still want to see. I'm waiting for him to be
number one this week.
Wait, we're starting the Gerard Butler discussion.
Den of Thieves was good.
Den of Thieves was good, Drew. And I want to see
Gerard Butler and 50 Cent. I disagree.
Excuse me.
Case in point, Gerard Butler, 50 Cent.
Curtis
has
50 Cent Jackson.
Yeah. All right, there you go. Like I said, number one this week. Crazy Rich Asians. Weekend gross $22.2 million.
There you go.
Total of 110.
Them crazy rich Asians making crazy rich money. Good for them. Yeah, dude, I'm gonna get around to it. That's another very well reviewed movie.
They turned a $30 million budget into $110 million. Chris,
they have crazy rich Asians too. Is it coming?
Yes.
There's no book. I don't know. Maybe there's a book. I don't know.
Somebody's writing one real
quick. Who needs a book? Write the screenplay. Go.
Write that book.
Right? I mean, that's what they're doing with Game of Thrones. There's no books for the last episodes that are coming out here.
That is very true. Absolutely. 100% true. Here we go. New movies on DVD. Adrift. Shailene Woodley and her boyfriend with a broken leg are trying to survive out in the water. Remember, Drew?
Never saw it.
Deep Blue Sea?
No. All is Lost. Deep Blue Sea. With Shailene Woodley.
All is Lost.
Check. Won't You Be My Neighbor?
No.
Mr. Rogers documentary?
I want to watch that.
I want to watch that, though, but no, I won't be your neighbor.
Coming out this week, you are my neighbor, though.
Of sorts.
Ghost Stories. I think this was a Billy D. Does the Movies pick at one point. Mm-hmm. And a couple people even wrote in about it for the Vox Populi. It has Martin Sheen, and it's like an anthology. It's three ghost stories, three short stories, English film. Very well reviewed. I think it played at the NZN for like 1 week, which is kind of a bummer because I kind of wanted to see it. And then Hereditary comes up.
Sweet.
So people can watch. Do you see Hereditary?
To be honest, I don't like horror movies. It's not because they're scary. They just don't do anything for me to go see.
So, oh, this movie will fuck with you, bro.
Yeah, I mean, I'll watch them at home. I'll watch them when I get them, but like, I'm not going to pay for any sort of horror movie. You can name the best horror movie ever, like Poltergeist. Like, I wouldn't have gone and seen that in the theater when it came out, even with the reviews. Like, just I don't care for them. They don't do much for me.
Fair enough. Well, Hereditary, I mean, if you don't like horror, I don't know. It's like the type of horror too.
I know the premise. Yeah,
it's not even trying to give you an escape from the world. It's like, oh no, the world is hard and scary and probably evil.
Yes.
And there are evil people, and here's a movie about it. And you're like, no. Hereditary, good stuff. I enjoy it. Drew, what's coming out in theaters?
Speaking of awful horror movies, The Nun.
Speaking of awful horror, don't waste your money on this one. That unbelievable Conjuring universe. It's The Conjuring, The Nun, Annabelle. All these movies are linked together by, like, well, Annabelle was based on Robert Duvall, which is a real legend. Yep. And then The Conjuring is based on, the Warrens, the Amityville people, like a real case that they worked on. I don't know. I don't think The Nun is based on anything real.
I think they screwed up with The Nun in the previews by releasing what The Nun actually looked like. Like, if you would have kept that kind of secret.
They're running with it. They're like, The Nun is front and center on everything, you know? They're not trying to hide it at all in the marketing, which is interesting. And then the trailer jump scare crazy. It's all about the loud bar. And I'm just like, fuck you guys. Your movies are trash.
Looks lame.
What else is coming up?
Lady Taken, a.k.a. Peppermint.
Yes, Lady Taken.
I'm kind of interested, actually.
It's from the director of Taken, so if you like Taken, this is just
Pierre Morel,
Lady Taken,
who did literally Taken before that.
Except they actually took her family and killed them.
Yes, so it's Lady Taken meets Death Wish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a Taken Wish.
Yeah.
Pierre Morel also did. Do you remember District B-13, that French action movie that had a lot of parkour in it?
I can't say I saw that.
We saw that.
Yeah, we watched that one. I think we got that on like Netflix DVD. Yeah. That's how long ago that was. He did that. That was his breakout movie. Then he did Taken. And then I think he did something else since then that wasn't not even as good as Taken. And Taken itself was like. So this is Lady Taken. At least Garner has an action background already with the Alias show and Elektra and stuff like that.
I think in all the fight scenes, she's just pretending to beat Ben Affleck's ass.
Oh, yeah. His drunk ass. Like, beat there for the kids.
We can wipe that sound out. Go ahead. Just say it. Say what you need to say.
It's what she wants to do, man. It's all for the kids. It's all for the kids.
You just name the villain Ben.
Yeah. I bet you what you is Ben. Ben. Or, yeah. Drew. Anything else?
Chris. No.
No? All right, then. Here we go.
Doctor, give me... You must be Doc Holliday.
Well, that's the rumor.
Dr. Strangelove, do we have anything like that in the works?
They call me Dr. Manhattan.
And Bridget Fonda.
Do doctors know more about sex?
Doc Hollywood.
That's right, here with your prescription for life is the good doctor, Dr. Drew. Take it away.
Coffee and cigarettes, Chris. The breakfast of champions. Cogburn out.
That's right. Coffee and cigs.
Breakfast of Champions.
Breakfast of Champions. Oh, I should write that part down. Mm.
That's the most important part, Chris.
It'd be great if McDonald's started selling that. You go through the drive-thru.
I need a large coffee and a pack of smokes. Thanks. Yeah.
I need a number 12. Camel?
Menthol or non?
Menthol. Ew, you're gross, sir. Ew. Don't you judge me.
Judged.
Seriously, though, menthol cigarettes and coffee? Yeah.
Gross.
Unless maybe you like...
I don't drink coffee.
Irish cream in your coffee? And then maybe
I mean, I like Irish cream in my coffee, but I'm not... I'm not a coffee drinker.
Tea?
Nope.
No caffeine?
No, I'll drink soda and stuff, but I don't like the flavor of tea. I don't like coffee. Interesting. But I don't drink a lot of soda. I drink a ton of water.
Water's good for you. Yeah. Water's healthy for you.
Main time I drink soda is when I go to a restaurant because I don't want to drink their tap water.
Yes. What do you mean? This is in New York. You can't just drink tap water in these places. They're garbage.
Yeah. You're garbage.
You're garbage.
I mean, I am.
We're going to take a break, guys.
That's neither here nor there.
We're going to take a break.
A breaky.
And then Drew's going to smoke a cigarette because he's gross.
I already had one.
I'm going to smoke one with him.
Matt's going to smoke a cigarette. You're not going to smoke one?
I already had one.
You already had one. Well, Matt's going to smoke one. Mm. And then we're going to come back with the second half of the show with all the aforementioned segments. Oh, wait, that was in the deleted part. So I'm going to say in the non-deleted part, we got the trivia. We got the Billy D's Death of the Movies. The Vox Populi is back after taking a week off. And, of course, some movie news. So, you guys ready?
Mm-hmm.
Ready. Here we go.
To the Crespo
Bowl. I hit record, and then it's like a second, maybe a second and a half, where it doesn't start recording right away.
Hold your breath.
You're just like, oh.
You fucked it up, Chris.
And then the rest are like, oh, Drew.
You fucked it up.
Where can people find you?
At Antihero419. Three places on the internet.
Three places? What are those places?
Three places.
Yeah, what are the places? What are they?
Three.
What are they, though? Now people got to comb through the internets to figure out what if it's their first
time
listening.
They're just going to Google three places for Drewster Cogburn.
Oh, yeah.
Three of them.
Oh, threeplaces.com?
It's an actual site.
That's Drewster Cogburn's new social media site that he started himself, threeplaces.com, where you log in once, and then it posts to three different...
No, it's just one single
still one
site.
Single feed.
It's, yeah.
Still one thing.
Called Three Places.
There's also the Twitter account, at Drewster Cogburn, that people can follow if they want.
That's got nothing to do with me.
What do you mean that's nothing to do with you? It's your official, unofficial parody account.
It's got nothing to do with me.
But it's out there. Let's see what it's tweeting.
I mean, sure, it's out there, but like I said, it says it's the unofficial fan account.
Since you're not on...
Someone else is running it, Chris.
Since you're not on Twitter, have you been able to even look at it to see what it's posting?
Well, I'm not on Twitter, so why would I?
This is a funny... It's can't help it, and then it's another... But then you gotta click on the subtweet to see what the tweet is. It says, can't help it, and then the subtweet is, Drew, describe it.
Sneeze once, sneeze twice, keep sneezing, this is your life now.
Yeah, that's your Chicago.
Yep.
He's a sneezer. So, do you see what the bio says?
Chris, I'm not on Twitter, how could I?
It says, official, parentheses, unofficial, parody account of the sexy, salacious, and infamous Antihero 419.
Wow, chicka, wow, wow.
There we go.
And then, it says, Arrow 420... Tree branch, mushroom, smoking cigarette, metal fingers, rainbow flag.
Metal nice. Fingers or middle fingers?
Metal fingers. Like a Dio, Ronnie James Dio, metal fingers.
I thought I was going with your mom's thing.
Middle fingers.
How long have you been running this Twitter account for, Chris?
I have not at all. it was just discovered when it tweeted at me or followed me like a week ago, right after you announced that you're off Twitter. But apparently it was... started January 2016 and
that's
just
a
laid
long time ago.
And just laid dormant for 2.5 years waiting to pounce.
Well.
Has 15 followers already.
Cool. Whoa.
So, it's gonna be funny when it has more followers than
I don't know. I had a couple hundred followers for never tweeting anything ever.
Did you get to a couple hundred? I stopped checking.
Yeah.
You got to 200?
I think I got to 200.
Man, Drew, all that power that you yielded. And then you just threw it away.
That influence.
All that influence. You just threw it away. You could have been making hashtag ad dollars.
I lit it on fire.
You could have been like Olympiadis sus dientes con colgate. Hashtag ad.
Nope.
Couldn't make any money.
Nope.
Hashtag show me the Drew Cogman.
Coco.
What up?
Where are you on Twitter?
You can literally just look up 1KAway, O-N-E-K-A-W-A-Y.
Away.
Away.
Well, there's 1K away. Who's this?
There is another Twitter handler that does have...
What? Scary Dog with his 7 followers.
It's K-Way.
Man, he had it since May 2009.
Yeah. Free the 1K away.
Hasn't tweeted since April 2014. My old Kentucky blog. Oh, boy. Tweeted on May... On February 15, 2014, tweeted, Hi! Exclamation point.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Really exciting guy there.
Oh, my God.
But you can find us there, Facebook, Instagram. Look up 1K Away and literally just Google it. And we are on like the first like 9 pages of Google.
That's hysterical. 1K Away. And then what else? How about Instagram?
Yeah, Instagram, same thing, 1K Away. Mm-hmm. Facebook, 1K Away is group page, group at 1K Away.
There you go.
You can look us up if you want to listen to any of the shows.
Mm-hmm.
We're on iHeartRadio. We're on Google Podcasts. We're on Apple Podcasts. We are on Podcast Radio Network every Friday night.
Nice.
So, a lot of fun, a lot of good stuff.
There you go. Drew and I went and hung out for episode 98.
98 or 99.
I'm pulling up right now. We were Popson versus Cinema Crespi. So Movie Jeopardy show number 98. That was a lot of fun. We appreciated the chicken.
Oh, it was a ton of fun.
And the beers. So you guys are now up to 101.
Look at that.
Yep, guys. We just recorded 102 yesterday.
Glad to know that you didn't stop after 98. That's a good job.
Yep, no, we're still
good dedication.
We've exceeded expectations.
You did continue on. Good stuff. And 102 coming out soon for people to hear.
Yep, 102 coming out soon. We were kind of referencing it as a shit show. We had a bunch of people in the studio. So
here we go.
You kind of know when that happens. You get a bunch of people kind of, and especially with the beer fridge, the aforementioned beer fridge. So
it's a pretty well-stocked beer fridge, and I gotta say.
Yeah, it's not as well-stocked. Stocked anymore the show yesterday.
With that
so.
Show, there you go. Time to restock.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's why, you know, when I do this show, I try to keep it to one guest at a time because it can very easily get to nonsense when you start micing up.
It was a lot of fun, though. A lot of good people in the studio yesterday, so a lot of good things coming.
Good, excellent. Well, 1K away. People check it out. Thanks for having us on.
And yeah. Can't believe you guys came back and won that Jeopardy game.
I had to make it entertaining somehow, man. We couldn't just crush Jay and Raulito. We had to make it fun.
First, we had to go in the hole a couple hundred
times. I'm kind of curious.
There was a fun hole, and then...
I'm kind of curious in the history of Jeopardy, if any contestant has ever gone as far negative as you guys and then come back and won.
And then made a comeback. There's had to have been some sort of, like, Ken Jennings fuck-up who showed up too high, and then the weed wore off halfway through the taping. It's like, okay, here we go. Now I know what I'm doing, you know. Delicious. Well, it was a fun episode. We had a good time. People, check that out. Check out the show 1K Away. Thanks to you for showing up, and thanks to Ken for hanging out previously with us.
Lots
as well.
Of fun, man.
Lots of fun, good times. Podcasting is fun. I put on Facebook a dumb little Photoshop job, a bad Photoshop job of like a God photo, God painting, but as a podcaster.
Everybody loves it.
Everyone loves it.
Fucking flipping out over that shit. Dude, I was at work. And Mike Fonner on the Instagram was like, hey, Drew, look what Chris did. I was like,
everyone likes
I know. Yeah.
It's like, I used to live with that guy. I see this guy all the time.
Exactly. Like, I interact with him usually at least once a day.
We don't live together anymore, right? No. I swear we spend more time together somehow.
I know. It's weird.
You gotta love when people talk to you about your own show and asking you, like, about, like, did you hear this? I was like, fucking show.
It's my show. I was there. Drew's like, man, I've seen that. I was there. I was tagged in it. My favorite part, actually, I posted it on Facebook, and then some people were like, I think they kind of took like offense to it. Because they're like, oh, the podcast. Like, relax, guys. It's just a joke.
It's okay.
It's just a joke. Chill out. Thanks for picking up that trash, Drew. I appreciate it. Hey, while you're up there, can you plug the fridge in? Yeah. I unplugged it for recording the Daily City earlier. So we have bed music, so the bed music kind of hides the terrible fridge hum. But Mark Barrett told me this now, so I'll cut all this out.
No, you won't.
No, so much. I already did all the editing with the Daily City. And even had to do a little editing with...
It's all right. You cut the first 13 minutes of our recording.
Yeah,
already.
I had to cut that. It was trash. It was
straight
so bad.
Garbage.
It was really bad. The podcast god was like, nope. This is Godcast.
I told you. Nope. No podcasting god. Straight chaos.
Welcome to Godcast. The first 13 minutes of your show were trash. Put it in the dumpster. Set it on fire.
Thank you, Satan.
No, it was God. Mm. Oh.
Was it? Sounded a lot like Satan.
No. No, here it goes. Satan. Oh, shit, that was the wrong one.
Satan's all right. Welcome to Satan Cast. Ladies and gentlemen, I am the devil. Welcome to hell. And we today are going to talk about how to burn your tulips in that garden of evil. Just like I burn.
How's it going, Chris?
I'm Satan! How dare you!
That's like the Satan on your shoulder. That's like the little one with the high-pitched voice.
He's so tiny. He's a tiny Satan.
That's castrated Satan.
Yeah. Well, what do you think would happen when he got sent down to hell?
Ooh.
He was castrated on the way now. Mm. God's like, I'm going to take your balls. God's all like, how dare you, Satan? I'm going to take your balls from you. That's what God like, damn, this Old Testament God. Yeah. Mm. The Torah God.
Chocolate salty balls
God. If I was a religious man, I'd be worried about all this blasphemy. But
but you're not.
But Drew was not worried at all about blasphemy.
Blasphemy, that's... I do blasphemy for fun.
I do blasphemy for breakfast. I thought you were going to say I do blasphemy for breakfast. I mean, eat blasphemy for breakfast.
I mean, I do. I do wake up and read The Morning Heresies every morning.
The Morning Heresies.
Yeah. Richard Dawkins, that's his website, The Morning Heresies.
I'm going to eat my blasphemy O's and read my Morning Heresies. Hey, are you? Do you go to Rollins College? No, definitely not you. I'm talking to the listeners. Do you go to Rollins College? Are you a student? Do you live on campus or near campus and you're bored on Tuesday nights and need something to do? Come on down to Dave's Boathouse, 8 p.m. We do 3 rounds of the Curtis Earth trivia, and I host that shit.
Number 3 in Orlando, buddy. Orlando Weekly, number 3. Well, what? Chris Crespo trivia.
What? come on down for free trivia. The winning team gets free dessert. So,
and they get to shake your hand.
And you gotta, please do not shake my hand. You get to meet me, though. Please not meet me. And you gotta play free trivia. You get a free dessert. It's free to play, guys.
Did they get a free flamingo shirt?
No, they do get to lightly pat him on the head, though.
Chris
really enjoys it when you do that.
Do not touch my hair. You can take pictures of me from the distance.
From the distance?
From the distance. Yes, correct. So Rollins students, come out to Dave's Boathouse Tuesdays at 8 p.m. I'm going to be on the Ted Show this week, guys, so keep an eye for that on the Facebooks. The Ted Show is hosted by Ted Bogert. He does it at the Citrus Club, and you sit there and like you look at the camera and then talk to each other side by side. It's a weird setup. I'm looking forward to it.
Strange.
It's going to be like a 20-minute show. He's going to ask me about me. I'll be like, PFT Media, and then hopefully someone will listen to something. You know how that works.
Nobody will.
You know how that works.
Can you put like a mirror so I can see your reflection in the mirror as I'm staring at the camera?
That would be, back and forth. So it's like an infinite. Maybe we can. Okay, here we go. Guys, this week's game is a listener submitted game. So I'm actually going to have to do it this way. I have to switch out the devices here. But here we go. Plug this in. Okay. And I'm going to keep track of your scores here. So, Drew, you lost last week.
Mm-hmm.
So, you have a record of 21-12.
Mm-hmm. Ken gave you a loss, too, which was severely surprising.
Yeah. So, Coco, you better not lose.
You got to represent, buddy.
I know.
He's going to hold it over you.
Oh, my God. He's so well. He got one question right the entire damn time, except for the tiebreaker.
That was a hard game. this week's game submitted by a friend of the show, and actually past guest of the show, Gabe.
Fred of the show?
Fred of the show. Drop dead Fred of the show. And it's called "What You Talking About, Willis?"
And I don't know. What am I talking about?
He writes here. You will hear clips that include Bruce Willis's voice. Use characters and context clues to guess the name of the movie. Feel free to play along at home. So I'm gonna play 5 clips for you, and you gotta guess the movie.
All right.
All right. So you're going first since Drew lost last week. So here we go. I'm gonna be picking these clips at random for you. All right, so here we go. Guess the movie.
What? Weller. I just want access to the purifier.
Virus?
Yes, for the future. I need to know where it is and exactly what it is.
Ah, I get it. I see what you're up to. It's your old plan, isn't it?
What plan?
I know what you're talking about. What plan?
Yes, you do. We were in the day room watching television, and you were all upset about the desecration of the planet, which I understand. But then you said to me, wouldn't it be great if there was a germ or a virus that would wipe out all of mankind, like the animals from the trees?
Do you have a guess?
I know the movie. I just can't think of the name.
Oh, really?
I know the movie and can think of the name.
Oh, no. Well, I'll go ahead and give you the whole clip.
We live underground. The world belongs to the dogs and cats. We live like worms.
We just need the information.
Take it easy.
You are total nutcase, completely deranged, delusional, paranoid.
I know it's the movie where he's in the psych ward and he's shaved head. I can't think of the name of the movie.
All right, well, that's going to be an X for you, Drew.
12 Monkeys.
That's 12 Monkeys, correct. Okay, let's see. How about this one? It's got a fetching. I am downloading, so I'm streaming all the clips here. Oh, no. Gabe!
You know, drilling's a science. It's an art. Third generation driller.
Armageddon.
Doing yeah! Alright, there we go. Well done. Okay. How about this one? Number three.
I'm so sorry.
Pulp Fiction.
Yes, that's correct. Alright, number four.
Nancy Callahan. The love of my life.
Oh,
she
my
used to lie to her. God. I hope she forgives me for it. Get Senator Rourke behind bars.
Oh,
sure. You
know it.
Maybe after pulled off that miracle.
I know it too. I can't think of the damn name though.
Damn it!
That's
the important part.
I know.
No one's name is important.
His only.
Ah, go ahead.
Line is cut.
Nothing.
Rourke's sure. Lost his goddamn.
Sin City. Yep.
All right, here you go, man. Your final one. Let's see. I'm gonna pick. Fetching.
Sun's down into your eyes.
It's too strange. Your face looks backwards.
Oh, man.
So do you know what's gonna happen? You done all this already? As me?
I don't want to talk about time travel. Because if we start talking about it, then we're gonna be here all day talking about it, making
diagrams
and straws.
What the hell is the name of the movie?
I can't let you walk away from this diner alive. This is my life now. I earned it.
Freaking
you had your
Jordan Lovett. Yeah. Jordan Gordon.
JGL.
Gordon Lovett. You, yeah.
Die.
Why don't you just take your little gun out between your legs?
Like
and
time.
Boy.
It's not time, Bob. It's. You got me.
Jerp.
Looper.
That is
Looper.
All right, so you got 2 out of 5.
That's horrible.
All right, Drew. Here we go, sir.
Ruby Rod is the biggest radio star in the world. It's a great honor to be on this talk show.
Yep, I know it already.
So is that funny how that works?
Yeah,
the hot seat, man.
I'm excited, but I'm on my vacation. I don't want to be bothered. I prefer to remain anonymous.
Come back! Here he is, the one and only winner of the Gemini Crockett Contest. This boy is fueled like fire. So start melting, ladies, because the boy is hotter than hot. He's hot. Right size, right build, right head, right on. Right on, right on. And he's got something to say to those 50 billion pair of ears out there. Pop it, D-Man. Unbelievable.
Fifth Element.
Yeah, there you go, Drew.
Am I the only one who's getting a weird echo in my headphones? Like, that last clip was really, it sounded strange.
Did it sound strange?
Yeah.
Maybe the clip was just echoey. Okay.
Well, it was echoey for the Chris Tucker microphone part on that movie.
It was literally echoey because he's doing a radio broadcast.
Yeah, but it was like exceptionally echoey in my headphones.
Okay. I think it was just echo. Okay, here we go. Here is. Pick the right one for you. I'm gonna make this lopsided. The wrong way. Okay, here we go. Number 2.
Stop looking at me. I don't like when people look at me like that. I walk this way to school with Tommy Thomas.
Sixth Sense.
Yeah, there buddy. We go. Okay, number 3.
Look, I gotta be down on the sidelines during the game. You can get to your seat right down here.
Characters in comics are often attributed special powers. Invisibility, X-ray vision, things of that sort.
I don't want to play this game anymore.
Unbreakable?
It's an exaggeration. Unbreakable is correct. Yep, here we go. Number...
Good job, Drew.
Number 4. Betcha.
Oh, no! Put me back in! Put me back in, please! Buddy, let go of my
my head and put me back inside. Ah! Oh! Who is that? Who's that?
Look who's talking.
Look who's talking is correct. And, all right, number five. Fetching.
Captain!
Oh, what's that? Fucking stupid.
Order your men to lower their weapons.
Stupid ass movie.
Do it now.
Oh, the law states God.
I am the law. Right here, right now, I am the law.
You have the right
to general. New York's on military lockdown. Denzel's the other guy. What the fuck?
Not
is
to
it?
Be murdered. Rights that you took away from movie. Tariq Husseini. You have
yes?
those rights.
I'm right there with him. Like, yeah, I know what
the
it
movie.
Is.
Yeah. I don't know the name of the movie.
That would be The Siege.
Ah, okay.
Good job, Drew.
Yeah. Good job, Drew. We have a whole bunch of clips here. Could you name this one? Anyone. If you guys know it, just name it. Since the game is ready over here, fetching.
The suspected murderer, Kevin Crum, suffers from the controversial psychological disorder, DID. The rumors coming out of the scene are almost unbelievable. There are conflicting stories if the suspect is alive or dead after sustaining two point-blank gunshots. Reports even indicate one of his personalities is an amalgam of the various animals in the Philadelphia Zoo where he worked. The press is already referring to the alleged attacker by a dark name leaked by a source close to the case. Because of his many personalities, he is being called the Horde.
What?
This is like that crazy guy in the wheelchair that they put away 15 years ago. And they gave him a funny name, too. What was it?
Mr. Glass.
It's Unbreakable.
No. That's the end of Split.
Oh,
right.
The end of Split.
Yeah.
The very end of Split. Okay, we did Fifth Element. We
haven't watched
Lucky
it yet.
Siege.
Really want to watch it.
There you go. We did Armageddon. You got that. Split. Pulp Fiction. Oh, this one. Oh, the headphones aren't working?
Do you still have the potion? Done. Do you still have it?
They're permanently done?
The plastic. Find it! It's the only way you'll survive if you fall.
Oh, no. I can glue them together. Tape them.
Bring it or you'll die.
We'll salvage it.
Together again.
Uh-huh. Is this not familiar to you at all? Oh, this movie? It's a weird clip.
Drink.
Here, did we get one? Oh, this one, man. Did people even see this movie?
Hey, Joe, it's me, Jeff. I'm back on. Listen, Mom, take care of him, all right?
You little shit, you know? Shit, he's probably hungry because he wakes up and he just
why? Let me do you a favor. Bitch. Find out what Sean likes to eat. And I'll send it in. Him and his mom can eat in the bedroom while me and you fix
no,
this thing.
No, close, but
say?
No.
God, the cops want to know what you want to eat, so get in here.
Drew,
the boy's moving from his bedroom.
It's called Hostage.
Hostage. Yeah. I've never seen it.
Now this one's, I think, gonna be tricky. You gotta know what you're talking about.
Die Hard.
No, John.
No.
Of explosive. It's
not Die Hard.
It's
not.
Try to run.
The third
it
one.
Goes up now.
Die Hard 3.
Nobody's
gonna
run, but I got 100 people
out. It's Jeremy Irons.
Yes, John. Yes, John. It's Jeremy Irons. Yes, well, gonna play Simon Says. I'm German, but I'm English,
yeah.
So it's a weird voice.
This is one where he.
And then if you muffle the voice, then it's just Bane, and that's how you know you're doing Bane. And
it's just Jeremy Irons in there.
This one, you did that one, and all right, last one. Here we go. See if you guys can get this one. Let's see if you guys can get this one.
Hey, Jules.
Yes.
That reminds me. You know, I've been meaning to call you since the last time the girls and I were down in town.
So oh, it's so good to see you. So come relaxing.
Mess. Anyway, Tallulah left her SpongeBob blanket.
Which oceans is it?
So what
it's,
I want to do.
It's the one where
Ocean's 12.
Ocean's 12.
Is it Ocean's 12? Yeah, because it's the one where Julia Roberts.
Yeah, they're in the museum.
You
know who you look like?
No, because she's in on it, and then everybody says
she's Julia Roberts playing somebody
Julia
else
Roberts.
Who's playing Julia
exactly,
Roberts.
Exactly. Yeah.
Roberts
and then Bruce
like,
Willis is playing actually Bruce Willis,
yes.
Who's actually friends with Julia Roberts,
and who was tricked enough to be like, "Oh, this person
yeah.
looks like."
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Gabe. We appreciate the game, buddy. Drew, you won, so you. are now at 22 and 12. Bam, 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 bam. That's not the same. It doesn't really work the same way.
At least I beat one of the 1K away guys.
Yeah.
Oh,
the one who actually has the movie knowledge.
Yeah. Oh, man. And meanwhile, while you guys were playing the game against Ken, Matt's in the corner for everyone like, oh, I know it, I know it.
I'm like humming music and trying now, to help him out.
And now when he's in the hot seat, he's like, I can't think of the name Looper.
It's the hot seat, man. Oh, yeah. That's he gets hot. I also put fresh coals underneath each guest chair before each episode.
There you go.
Delicious. So delicious.
That moment you've all been waiting for. The world famous
Vox Populi's Populi's Vox Populi.
That's right. You email us, cinemacrespediso@gmail.com, and we'll read it on the show. Drew, I sent you another email. So we have two emails for this week's Vox Populi. I mean, it might be coming through now. So okay. Go ahead and get to reading, if you don't mind. I'm Mr. Cogburn.
Got an email from Ron.
What's up, Ron?
I miss ya.
Oh, I miss you too, Ron.
I've been doing a binge of a D&D podcast since starting my trip, and I'm on episode 114.
Cool.
So I have not heard a word of y'all since I left for Europe.
Ah, see, he didn't. So none of our London downloads are from Ron.
I know I said I would plaster the area with y'all stickers, but I just could not put your lovely sticker over the old as fuck architecture here.
Yeah, that's true.
I feel I would be a stupid American and disrespecting all for doing so.
Fair enough.
But I'll be in a seedy part of London for the XXL Bear party before I return Sunday, so I will try to post on Insta if I find a place to put it.
Okay.
Now it's kind of a good hold, because you're like, the bear what?
Bear what? Party, whoa!
So I guess you went to XXL Bear Party. Good job, Ron.
Nice, Ron. Hope you got you some.
I also want to talk about the movie advertisement that happens here. Posters for Kin and Black Klansman have been very prominent these 3 weeks.
Okay.
Also, they are just getting The Spy Who Dumped Me next week.
Okay.
It's surreal to think that the system you use is not the norm. Very little movie theaters here as well. I wanted to go see one, but the times were all for The Meg, and I wasn't having any of that.
Oh, yeah, you don't want to go all the way to London just to see The Meg. Oof.
I also saw Smoking Aces again.
Smoking Aces, I remember that name.
What a phenomenal film.
Great movie.
What are y'all's thought on it? All the actors being low-key in the film, Taraji is the shit.
Taraji.
It is considered a flop, and if so, why? The director does a lot of TV I like, but I wish he would get more of this. Most recent, I guess, is Free Fire, just wacky individual and magical realism. I miss the States. Well, at least my own bed and place. I hope y'all have a great Labor Day weekend. Peace, Ron.
Peace, Ron. We appreciate it. As we're recording this, I think he is, like, traveling back to America.
Probably on a plane.
Travels, buddy.
America.
America. Smoking Aces. I only saw that movie the initial time it came out. Yep. I remember, like, being not that impressed by it, but I also know that it has, like, a big following. A lot of people like it quite
a
bit.
It's becoming a cult following movie.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
And I think the problem was it kind of came out. When it came out, a few years before, like, the movies became prominent because you had some other movies. The one... Oh, crap, you played a part of it in one of your earlier shows with the dog.
Snatch.
Yeah, so I think it came out before Snatch, or it was either after Snatch, and I think that's why it didn't take off.
Right around the same time, yeah. And that style of movie, it's like the post-90s indie film, sort of. The early 2000s version of a 90s indie film. Joe Carnahan, which is an interesting director, did The Descent.
Mm-hmm.
Doomsday, remember Doomsday?
Mm-hmm. That's like Doomsday.
AKA Escape from Glasgow.
Yes, Escape from Glasgow.
Interesting guy. He did which Game of Thrones episodes? He did the Battle at the Wall episodes.
Okay.
So he did those. So all the bigger episodes, he directs those. He's an interesting guy. What is he? He's working on something now. He tried to make the Daredevil movie for Fox. And he put together a really cool sizzle reel that if you search for Joe Carnahan Daredevil sizzle reel, it's really cool the way he put it together. It's like, whoa, he would have made a really cool Daredevil movie. But then Fox didn't pull the trigger.
And we got that crap.
And then, no, not even that. Fox didn't pull the trigger, and then the rights for the movie reverted back to reverted back to Marvel. So Marvel, if Daredevil gets made, movie gets made, it would be Marvel. I think they actually have the rights on.
Okay, so you're saying after the original Daredevil, he wrote something.
Yes, this,
okay.
This was like this sizzle reel was like 3 years ago.
Okay, because I was like the original one sucked.
This was right before
the Netflix series.
They did the Netflix series, and
I enjoyed the Netflix series.
Yeah, that's a fine series. I actually, you know what? I saw the first season, liked it. Second season, nah. And then I fell off.
See, I gotta start watching this.
The Punisher. I only watched like the first two episodes of the Punisher show.
I watched the first episode, and that was it.
The first episode. I think I watched the second one. Just never went back. Don't. To
I like John Bethany. I think I said it right.
You mean Bernthal?
Bernthal.
He's fine. He's good. He's good.
He's okay.
He's like 2000s version of Fred Ward. Fred Ward guy. Smoking Aces. All right, so you like Smoking Aces. Drew Smoking Aces.
Yeah, it's all right.
It's all right. Okay. Well, what else we got?
Oh, I got an email from Scott.
What's up, Scott?
So with the news of Chris canceling his movie pass...
What?
A simple question. What was the best movie you saw using your movie pass?
Upgrade.
And what was the worst?
Equalizer 2.
There we go. All right. That's the Vox Populi.
That's the Vox Populi. So I canceled my movie pass. I checked my account, and I saw that I hadn't used it for a month. And it wasn't for a lack of trying.
Mm-hmm.
So what MoviePass has decided to do is every movie isn't available anymore.
It's limited.
So not only can I only see 3 movies a month, which I'm fine with, and not only can I not see 3D movies and I can't see premium films, but then they're going to decide ahead of time, oh no, you still will only be able to see certain movies on certain days. And they post their schedule like a week in advance. For on their website, you can go to their website, click on their schedule, and you can see what movies are available on what days. My issue is I am busy as fuck.
Yeah.
And I am not gonna pay. Okay, here's another thing. So I paid $7.99 a month for my movie pass. It's normally $9.99 a month. I paid $7.99, but I had to pay for a year in advance, so I ended up paying like $90, right? Which I'm fine with. I was like, okay, that's a good deal.
Save money.
Yeah. And then I saw 11 or 12 movies. So I've already...
You've gotten your money worth.
I've already got my money worth on that. Okay. They are canceling everyone's annual subscriptions.
What?
Yeah. They let you know. Oh, your subscription's been canceled. We are going to charge you $9.99 a month now.
Legally, can they do that?
Probably written somewhere in the small print.
Terms and services agreement. We can decide to change whatever we want at any point. Mm-hmm. I'm sure it's in
there. Now, do they refund you the remaining balance?
I had an option to be refunded my balance. I don't know how they're going to do it if I didn't do the refund. If they were going to start charging me $2.99 a month for the next 6 months, I don't know what they're going to do.
Probably just credit the account until it runs out.
They're going to do something. They're going to do something. Yes, exactly. And then start charging me. But they gave me an option. I had until the end of August. August 31st, at the end of business, August 31st or whatever, or the end of the day, maybe 11:59 at night, to cancel and get a refund. And if I cancel, just like anyone else who cancels, I can't re-up for 9 full months.
Mm-hmm.
So then Friday rolled around, and I pulled a movie pass. I was like, I want to see The Little Stranger. And this is my only time. Friday night is my only time to see The Little Stranger. I pull it up, not fucking available. You know, I was like, you know what? Last fucking straw. I'm sick of this shit. Why would I have a subscription for something that I have to then be on their goddamn schedule to use? I canceled that shit.
Monday through Friday, 9 to 5, premium work hours. So that's when you can go see movies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. I'm working Monday 9 to 5, and then I host trivia, and then I got PFT Media and Cinema Crespi. So I literally produce 5 fucking podcasts. I don't have time. And then the web series, working on Food Virgin. I got so much shit that I'm doing. I have to see movies on my schedule. MoviePass is like, no, you gotta see movies on my schedule. I'm like, fuck you, MoviePass, canceled. And since they prorated my shit, I got $53 coming back to me for MoviePass. Nice. So I saw 11 movies for about $40. So
perfect.
MoviePass can then do a double go fuck yourself. You really got screwed, MoviePass.
By the way, I liked Upgrade.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, I was surprised.
It was pretty good. It was definitely the best movie I saw using the pass. I was like, oh wow, yeah, this was definitely worth it. Because otherwise this movie I would have skipped out on.
Great little twist at the end.
It was a good twist. It was a very Twilight Zone-y type of ending that I appreciate. It's now available. It came out on DVD I think a week ago or 2 weeks ago, so people can check that one out. Upgrade, but not Tom Hardy. American Tom Hardy. It's also like not Venom. It's weird how it's not Tom Hardy and it's not Venom, but it's the same thing. All the way down to hearing a voice telling him what to do and stuff, and taking over. Did you ever see Upgrade, Drew?
Nope.
It's worth watching for, like, the action.
Yeah.
The violence of it. It's shocking. Some of the things that they do, you'd appreciate it, Drew.
I might get to it one day.
I recommend whatever streaming service that ends up popping up
check,
on.
Check it out.
What? What's it all about? yeah, so there you go. Movie Pass is Dunzo Bunzo. I am done with it. Fuck you guys. You are garbage. I may look into Cinemia. You guys know about Cinemia?
Nope. Can't say that I've heard of it.
They've been around for a while. There's a reason why they've been around for a while. Because what they do is they have a whole bunch of different plans, and depending on what you pay for, you get X amount of tickets to use. So for $9.95 a month, which is like the same as MoviePass, you get for sure two tickets. And then those two tickets are anything, 3D, IMAX, whatever
you want. Oh, wow, okay.
Okay, so that's a big deal.
Yeah.
And then if you see your two movies, $5 each, you're making, it's a deal.
$20,
yeah. Yeah, you're saving money on it for sure. So, and then they have more, $14.95, you get three movies.
Pretty much $5 a pop.
$5 a pop, but then even less, if you only want to do one movie a month, $3.99, so it's less than $5.
Hmm.
You know, so they have a whole range, a whole tier of things.
Create 9 different accounts, just open them for $3.99 a month.
Yeah, that would, I'd have to have 9 different bank accounts. I don't know how that would work. I need, you know, AMC has their version. I need Regal to get one, because the Regal is closer to me.
Yeah.
The theaters are nicer. The AMC that's closest to me, the theaters are fucking trash. Did you notice that, Drew? We went and saw 2001?
Yes.
That theater.
Garbage.
Altamont?
Yes.
Yeah. Garbage.
Trash fucking theater.
I like the Bose theater.
I was going to say, that Dolby theater.
Yeah, the Dolby theater.
Yes,
yeah.
I bet you that's a nice renovated theater.
That's awesome.
I've yet to see a movie in there. But the rest of the auditoriums are garbage. And then the Regal I go to here, man, big leather seats, everything's nice and clean. All the carpets aren't stained yet with, you know, Dr. Peppers of years past. Exactly. Anyway. Movie Pass. We hardly knew you. Email?
I do.
Well, then here we go.
Whoa, this is heavy. There's that word again. Heavy. Why are things always there? A problem with the Earth's gravitational pull? What?
Dude, we're totally
gonna
kill you now.
That's right, it's our Billy D's dead, and the movie's dead.
It's a good burp.
Dude, it's Frogman voice. What is up, my dudes?
Hope your weekend is
going well.
You ever do that when you were a kid and just go,
I caught a movie this week and I had not really heard about before.
Remember that ODB skit that you did on
the Damn it, Chris, shut your fucking pie hole. I caught a movie this week that I had not really heard about.
Like a shut up!
I caught a movie this week I had not heard about before, but was suddenly everywhere. I'd seen it in passing while browsing various streaming services, but 3 times in the past week, I'd seen reviews or it popping up on cult classic type lists, so I decided to give Blood and Donuts a shot.
Blood and Donuts. Wait. Blood and Donuts. Just making sure.
I kind of love this film. It's a quirky Canadian comedy about a mopey vampire who goes to sleep in a bag when he sees humans walk on the moon and wakes up 25 years later. The bar he used to go to is now a donut shop, and everyone he knows is dead or old. He's real bummed about it. He makes some new friends and learns some lessons about unlife, and he's very excited by the prospect of a kiwi donut at one point.
Hmm.
It has a fairly large cast of characters and a good amount of weirdo background people, like these strong men in tiny tank tops that eat at this donut shop. Hmm. And this is very much a 90s independent film. It's also super Canadian, but I wouldn't put it in the Canucksploitation genre like The Pit or Kathy's Curse or Hobo with a Shotgun. It's so much more quaint than any of those films. This movie won me over because I was really open to something different, and this is a charming and different kind of vampire movie. I'm going to be taking pics at a death metal show tonight, Parius at St. Vitus. They put out my favorite mellow death album of the year, The Eldritch Realm. Stay cool, Billy D.
Okay, those last two sentences had a bunch of words that were just nonsense. Yes. Like, hey. Bill, if you're going to send us Death of the Movies, stop making up nonsense words and just use English, please.
A. Parius, St. Vitus, Melodeath.
Yeah, what is this?
The Eldritch Realm.
What?
Perius is you can't just a band. St. Vitus is a bar.
No. What it is Billy D tokenizing his own language, trying to he thinks he's some sort of like Brooklyn elf,
incorporating D&D terms into it, Dungeons and Dragons terms.
Nonsense. Yeah. Nonsense.
You're nonsense.
What is this? All these D&D references. Enough with the D&D.
Dungeons and Dragons, man.
Man, we need some nerds to still be able to push down. I nominate D&D nerds. We should still be able to push them down.
Motherfucker, I'll push back.
Yeah, you're a D&D nerd.
I was. Well,
I'll push to heaven right now. You want to push? You want to? Hey, whoa, okay. You're a grown-up nerd. You're a grown-up nerd with a knife. That's not cool. Which I don't...
And it's dull, so it's going to hurt.
Oh, man, you're going to Rasputin me.
Yeah.
You know Rasputin got his guts ripped out of him?
Yes, he did.
Like
straight up, like right in... Well, they had to make sure he was dead because he...
No, this is before that. They seduced... used a woman, seduced him during sex, took a knife, split him open, took his guts out... He shoved his guts back in and lived for years more.
I was about to say, that's probably why they fucking... when he did die, they chained him and burned his corpse. And, they wanted to make sure he was dead because...
You gotta make sure.
They cyanided him. The cyanide didn't take. They shot him a bunch of times.
Didn't take.
He crawled outside. They shot him again in the head. Wrapped him up in a carpet. Threw him off a bridge into an icy river. Found his body 2 days later. Did an autopsy. Lungs filled with water. He drowned.
They still burned him alive.
They cyanided him, shot him in the head and the body.
But he drowned. That's how he died.
In the head.
And then he drowned.
Yeah.
And that was after he was gutted like a fish. Guts pulled out. He shoved his own guts back in him.
I don't think he could survive anything like that today.
Today! He did this in 1919.
In Russia.
Or whatever year. 18, whatever year.
In Russia, for Christ's sake.
Listen to the new episode of The Devil's in the Details featuring professional wrestler Clara Sinclair telling Pedro Lima all about the fall of the Romanovs, which includes a whole lot of Rasputin talk.
And death.
Rasputin. Thanks, Billy. Blood and Donuts. Sounds like a comedy about a vampire who goes to a donut shop. Good stuff. All right, time to debut a new segment that we call... I heard you said that. I'll use the show. He's a bit in drama. A new segment called What You Watching? And we talk about what you watching. Juicy Kyber, what you watching lately?
Oh, I mean, Law and Order as always. I'm always good for a good repeat of Law and Order.
Any good noteworthy episodes? Any good repeat guests? Oh yeah, this is the Gina Davis episode. This is the George Clooney episode.
No, not recently, no.
So just generalized Law and Order?
No.
Are you streaming anything? What are you streaming?
I watched the new Burt Kreischer comedy.
Oh, it was special? How was it?
Hilarious.
Well, you liked it? I've seen some mixed reviews on it.
It's one of the few times that I have, laughed out loud at home. Like,
when you're by yourself,
like, cracking the fuck up.
That's when you know it's good. When it gets you.
That was pretty great.
Okay, cool.
I'm trying to finish season 3 of BoJack. It's not working out very well.
Oh, really? People have stopped talking about BoJack, I've noticed.
For some reason, I haven't started Preacher yet.
Yeah, me neither. I only watched the first episode and didn't grab me, so I have yet to continue it. I have a whole season to watch.
I haven't even picked it up. Okay. Trying to think of anything. No, I just don't really have a lot of time for TV these days.
Fair enough. Coco, what you watching?
I did recently catch an Upgrade, but the new series that I'm on right now, I've been actually waiting for about a month and a half, Jack Ryan, but Tom Clancy series on Amazon.
On Amazon. Is it called Jack Ryan? Is that the name of the show?
Yeah, it's called Jack Ryan.
Okay.
So it's young Jack Ryan kind of going up, and I've always been a Tom Clancy fan. I used to read the books and things like that. Love the movies with Harrison Ford.
Clear Present Danger, yep. Patriot Games.
Hunt for Red October. I like the older ones.
First, right? Hunt for Red October was first?
No, I believe the Clear and Present Danger ones.
So they did two Harrison Fords, and then one Alec Baldwin.
And one Alec Baldwin. Okay. And then you've also had one with Ben Affleck, who's been a Jack Ryan.
That's the Sum of All Fears.
Yep.
Which shocked me because it's like a 2003 movie. 9/11 was still very fresh. And it has a plot line where they bomb a
football stadium.
Attack.
Yeah,
it's successful. And then the best part of that movie, Drew, the last 20 minutes of the movie, they're on an airplane. The president's on an airplane. Like, do we bomb? Do we bomb back? What do we do? Who do we bomb? And it's like super tense. Like, oh shit, is World War III about to start?
Yeah.
Yes.
It was really good. Was
and then there awesome. Was one additional one, too. I can't remember.
Drew, did we see this one? Jack Ryan : Shadow Recruit?
Yeah, we saw it with Chris Pine.
Chris Pine. Remember?
And, we didn't go to the theater with Chris Pine. Chris Pine was in the movie and we went and saw it. Kenneth Branagh's the bad guy?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's why we saw it.
So,
because like Kenneth Branagh, we got Drew is a massive Kenneth Branagh fan.
I just like
he loves him so much.
I just like how in front of every movie that he directs, it becomes Kenneth Branagh's this.
Nice. Kenneth Branagh's William Shakespeare's Thor.
No, it's wait. Kenneth Branagh's Agatha Christie's
William Shakespeare's Marvel's Thor.
Marvel's, yeah, whatever. It's still, but he puts his name in front of everything, which is dumb.
Yes, it's hysterical.
But yeah, I love the movies. I love the movies with Harrison Ford and things like that. I love Hunt for Red October. So when this came out, and I actually really started liking John Krasinski quite a bit.
Yeah.
Obviously, Quiet Place, great movie. Watched him in The Office. So like, I don't have the comedy feel for him.
That helps then to not have to look at him and be like, oh, it's Jim. You can you can kind of let him be whatever role he's in. Did you see, what's that one? 13 hours?
28 hours in Benghazi.
I forgot how many hours.
Yeah, I like that movie. Yeah. So, like, I really enjoyed that movie. I thought he played a great role. And again, from not seeing The Office, and I know he's in The Office. I've seen clips and stuff like that, but not having kind of that reference to fall back on.
Yeah.
He's not tight casted for me with that. So, okay. I've watched the first episode. It was like an hour and 10 minutes long.
So it's like a movie.
So it's like a movie, and it's great. And I think there's 9 or 10 episodes out right now. So I watched the first one, and start to finish, it was great storyline. Yeah. It got kind of in depth a little bit with his background.
And what is he, an analyst at this point? Yeah, an analyst.
So he's an analyst, just like in the other movies with Harrison Ford.
Of the movies he's just an analyst. Yeah,
he's an analyst. He finds some stuff in regards to a terrorist, and they're finding pretty much kind of the new Bin Laden type guy. So that's kind of who they're chasing down and stuff like that. So it kind of starts off a great ending to the first episode. Yeah.
And you were digging it?
Probably going home later and watching about 4 more of them. So.
All right. Yeah. There you go. So you're watching Jack Ryan and you're liking. Okay. Very cool. I just watched The Dana Carvey Show. I rewatched it. It aired originally in 1996. 7 episodes aired on TV. Hulu has all 8 episodes.
Uh-oh.
The 8th unaired episode, which is a great episode. There's like some legit funny stuff in there. It's a great subversive show.
And did you have to recap the previous 7 first before you
to got make to 8 work? Yeah. No, yeah. Would you? Now here's the thing. I watched a show originally when it aired on TV in 1996. I haven't watched it since then. That's 20 years ago.
Yeah,
over 20 years. So I rewatched.
I was gonna say you got to recap.
I recapped the whole thing. I watched the whole series, and then they have a documentary called "Too Funny to Fail," and it's about how. They put the show on ABC, they did one season of it, and then it got canceled. It was an infamous flame out. And it's a great documentary because they talked to all the people who were involved. Most of the people who were involved. So Stephen Colbert, Steve Carell, obviously Dana Carvey, Robert Smigel. Like, comedic geniuses, a lot of them before they were anyone. They were a bunch of nobodies working on the show. How Ambiguously Gay Duo started and all this stuff.
Ambiguously Gay Duo.
It's fantastic. And then how that ended up on SNL afterwards and all that shit. And great documentary, Too Funny to Fail.
Almost a Before Its Time type series.
The show itself was 100% Before Its Time. It should have been on HBO. The opening skit of the show for the first episode that aired after Home Improvement featured Bill Clinton, Dana Carvey as Bill Clinton, with 8 nipples that were leaking milk, breastfeeding babies and puppies and kittens. That's how the show started.
That should have been on HBO.
So they dug... Yes, it should have been on HBO. They dug themselves a gigantic hole and then spent the rest of the season trying to climb out of that hole, and they couldn't do it. So great, great documentary. I love the show. That's what I'm watching. So there you go. That was the new segment called Whatcha Watchin'.
It's a grapple.
So whatcha watchin'?
Whatcha watchin'? All right, well then here we go.
We give you the questions. You give us the answers. Time for the lightning round.
I got 10 questions, Matt, and I need 10 answers as fast as you can give me. Are you ready?
Ready.
Drew, set the clock.
Go.
Number 1, what is the color of confusion?
Purple.
Number 2, teen pregnancy, yay or nay?
Nay.
Number 3, what's the deal with child brides?
Nothing.
Number 4, who puts the glaze on the donuts?
The donut glazer.
Number 5, have you ever done any eating challenges?
Yes.
Number 6, Nakatomi Plaza or O'Hare Airport?
Nakatomi Plaza.
Number 7, Apocalypse or Dark Side?
Oh, Apocalypse.
Number 8, what is the best use for an ice cream cone?
Ice cream.
Number 9, have you ever gotten a shoe shine?
Yes.
Number 10. If she has legs and knows how to use them, what does she do with her arms?
Wraps around the other part that she's not using her legs to wrap around.
All right, there you go, Drusa Cogburn. We have swag baggery, such as the purple bag, the green bag. Which bag do you maybe want to go home with today?
Ooh, we'll go purple polka dot.
All right, purple polka dot, Drusa Cogburn. Break it out and let Coco know what he may get to go home with today.
Sir, you may get to go home with a jokes and gags squirt camera. It is not a real camera.
All right, so you're going to show Ken and be like, Ken, let me take your picture and squirt it right in the face with some lemon juice.
You got a Nickelodeon's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles carry-along activity booklet. It includes crayons and stickers.
Nice.
We've got a super action yo-yo. It's spiral.
Yeah, it's a spiral yo-yo for extra dog walking.
We've got a Cinema Crespo Diesel bootleg edition of Repo Man.
Bootleg.
It's an hour and 32 minutes.
Featuring Emilio Estevez.
We've got an Avengers finger flinger 2-pack. It looks like they're made out of rubber, and you can probably throw them at stuff.
Yeah, throw them at babies.
And we got a bunch of Cinema Crespo Diesel and PFT Media related stickers, etc.
Nice, Matt. You can take that purple bag home of swaggery and play with it and trick Ken with that camera, or you can take what we have in the box that's right over here.
What's in the box?
Yeah.
What's in the bag? What's in the fucking box?
You know what's in the bag. You don't know what's in the box. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? What are you going to do?
Gonna go bag.
We're going to the bag. All right, here you go. Bag. Take that bag. That is yours. And where's my... It says Price is Right. Do you usually know that I changed it? Oh, yeah, there you go. All right. That's it. That's the show.
Matt, you're a show.
Thank you so much.
Thank you guys for having me. It's been a ton of fun.
That's fantastic.
Can't wait to have you guys back in our studio as
well. Yeah, we'll do it again for sure. Everyone listen to 1K Away. Shout-outs to Matt. Shout-outs to Ken. You're all good people. Juice of Cogway, thank you, Saw.
You're very welcome, sir.
I just noticed you have a parrot on your shirt.
Yes. You just noticed.
I just noticed the parrot.
But what you want to know what's even more funny is he looked at his shoulder first before he looked at the front of his shirt.
I didn't know I was like a parrot. Like,
oh my god, thank you for downloading and listening. We appreciate it.
Actually, Chris, it's a macaw.
It's a macaw. Oh. Well, fuck me. Make sure you download the Stitcher Radio app and subscribe to us there as well. Young Banks, read more books, be excellent to each other. Free Mumia, Abu Jamal. We are out of here.
A PFT Media production.